He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the post-semifinal victory edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. I guess the English and the French are selling their tickets very cheap right now to the final in the World Cup. We're going to talk about the stock market today, but, you know, it's fun to talk about other things, world events taking place. We have kind of the same pattern going on in the market today that we've had for quite some time now, maybe 2 weeks. And I have acted accordingly and taken some action in our portfolios. I'm sure Barry's been watching and is aware of it. We have right now the Dow is up, which has been the pattern here recently. And the NASDAQ is down, which has also been the pattern recently. Now they're both down. Okay, the Dow is down 22. The NASDAQ is down 257 as the memory stocks continue to sell off. And we've booked some big profits, I will tell you that, over the last week, maybe 2 weeks, week, something like that, 10 days. The S&P is down 30 points. It's at 7,541. I wouldn't say there's anything wrong with the fundamentals of the chip stocks, but they go through cycles just like anything else. You know, the technical patterns of these things are my key to taking action at this point in time, even despite, you know, strong fundamentals still in that sector. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And we finally have the final two. Barry, did you know that it's Adidas versus Adidas?
Oh, is that so yeah, Adidas made the final on both sides?
Look,
huh?
I didn't know this. I'm kind of clueless when it comes to these things, I guess. But I walked into a Nike store about a week ago. I wanted the new Argentina jersey that they wore yesterday with Messi. And I walk into the Nike store, and he goes, "Oh, no, you can't buy an Argentina shirt here. You got to go down the street to the Adidas store." I didn't realize that they have these commitments to these teams, the shoe brands. And so both Spain and Argentina wear Adidas shoes, have nothing to do with Nike. That's where I had to go. So it is an all Adidas final, with Spain playing Argentina. And, you know, I just been checking on ticket prices for the World Cup. The English and the French are selling their tickets very cheaply right now. Not bad. Not bad on StubHub. We'll see how it goes. But that should be a very fun game to watch on Sunday, the World Cup final. There's estimated to be over 1 billion people watching that World Cup game on Sunday. And I guess advertising won't be cheap, Barry, for that game. Now, Cuba. What's going on in Cuba? What's going on in the market? We have the same pattern taking place today that we've had here recently. And, Barry, I think that we gave a fair warning that the second half of the year would not mimic the first half of the year. Rarely does the market do that. You see rotation. And I also warned that the memory stocks will probably not lead the market in the second half of the year, although I don't think there's a better sector out there. But you have to look at the charts of the stocks, and you have to look at the sentiment of the stocks, because that outweighs the fundamentals, which are still very, very strong. And that's another truism in the market. You can argue to me all day long that the fundamentals of such and such stock, Microsoft, for instance, are very strong right now. And then I would come back to you and say, well, as a guy who looks at 1,000 charts every day, why is the chart so weak and the fundamentals so strong? There's a disconnect there, all right? And sentiment and trading patterns have a lot to do with the stock market. that's why, you know, my Best Stocks Now, I don't know if you want to call it a system, my methodology that I follow, it weighs fundamentals. It weighs the track record of the stock. It weighs the valuation of the stock. But the third thing is that visual inspection of the stock on a daily basis. And I've said it before, if I was on a desert island with nothing else, I would take charts. And that's all I had available to me were the fundamentals, the track record, and the charts. I would take the charts any day of the week because the charts are going to tell me more about the health of that stock currently than anything else. It doesn't matter what the fundamentals are. How many times, Barry, have you seen something just falling apart? And Wedbush or whoever, some of the permabulls out there. And I got nothing against the permabulls. I just don't think that you can stand there and argue the fund. You can't walk out on a blizzard day and say, I'm not going to wear a jacket. I think this will clear up. It'd be crazy. You have to look at the current conditions. So, and Barry, look, well, you're a CFA.
The chart tells you.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. Well, I always use the example of, you know, you and I can get in a room and have a stock that's $50 and we think it's worth $100 from a fundamental analysis position. And we could be, correct that it should be worth $100. But if nobody outside the room thinks it should be $100, the stock's never going to get there. And the chart is where you look to see, is the rest of the market coming to a similar conclusion?
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
And that's what's going to, you know, it helps you avoid those value traps for 10 years and then the stock finally perks up. Well, you know, you can watch it for 10 years, but then of course, you know, once you see it perk up, then that's when you make the purchase, not at the beginning.
Exactly. I mean, we've been watching gold and arguably it's on support at 4,000 and it sold off, it underperformed in the first half of the year. You would expect it to outperform in the second half of the year, but that chart is still just dead in the water. There's a lot to be said for momentum. I don't care what it is. There's momentum in your health. I mean, you probably sometimes you go through periods of time when you're exercising and you're eating right and all the momentum is going in the right way. And then the momentum shifts and you go back to your old habits. In a sports match, you know, you could see when the momentum turned against England, the last 15 minutes of the game were spent in front of the England net.
Once they gave up that first goal,
it was pretty much. It almost seems like Argentina, once they fall behind, I just saw a lot more determination on their part. And that passing of theirs is just incredible. It's so pinpoint and so accurate. It's a clinic. They should show that to every kid. Growing up and playing soccer, that clinic of passing the ball so precisely and patiently waiting for that opportunity. And you could see little Messi. He's a little guy, and his little legs get going, and he's something, right? Those little legs are just churning, and they're darting in and out and whatnot. And you could just see the wind coming out of the sails of the English, okay? Much like, I guess, the war with America, back in the 1700s, at some point in time, the momentum finally shifted to Washington's forces, and the British went home. It's just a momentum is a very important concept, and nowhere do you see momentum or lack thereof more than in the charts, a one-year chart of the market. You could go into the doctor tomorrow and say, my blood pressure's great, my cholesterol is low, I've never felt better. And the doctor looks at something, internal, let's say a calcium score on your heart. He says, yeah, but you got a artery that's 90% plugged, right? And sometimes stocks are like that. On the surface, it looks great. But underneath the surface and in that X-ray or whatever, there's trouble brewing. Now, I'm not saying there's trouble brewing in these momentum stocks, but when they lose their momentum, you have to recognize that and not fight it. What's the old saying? Don't fight the tape. Okay.
Don't fight the tape. Yep.
I'd like to get one of those old ticker tape machines they have on my desk just to see it, you know, and gone by. And yeah. All of a sudden it slows down and starts going the other way. But I spotted in the charts. And you know, look, every week in the newsletter, I say it over and over again. A number one is a sideways pattern going nowhere. That's gold right now. Number two is an uptrend where the momentum, where the memory stocks were for a long, long time. Uptrend. But then they eventually start to top out, plateau, consolidate. From there, they can break out and go higher, or they can roll over and start correcting. I'm going to give an example, Barry. I'm going to use SanDisk as an example because it's arguably has been the hottest stock in the market this year. In fact, at one point, it was up like 700 or 800% year to date, which makes it vulnerable to a pretty decent round of profit taking, right? When people are up that much, and the stock starts to wiggle or waggle at all, they're pretty anxious to run for the exits and take that profit out of the stock. And as one person leaves the door, another person leaves the door, and then it picks up the selling, and you get a run on the stock, okay? So SanDisk was in an extreme uptrend, which began really on April 1st, let's call it, of this year. That's when the real uptrend, even though it began the year, down around, what, 200, 300, it got up to 2,300. Bam, it's going up in a number two uptrend. It never really broke that trend. But then you get towards the end of June, towards the end of the quarter, right, which is also kind of typical. Because you have a lot of these institutions kind of repositioning at the end of the quarter, getting ready for the next quarter. So SanDisk went from a number two uptrend, very distinctly it leveled off. It leveled off. It plateaued. If you're in a car and you're driving up to Las Vegas from San Diego, you make this long climb. In the 110-degree desert. I remember one time our car boiled over, Barry. My dad had an old Grand Prix car. That was our family car. And the radiator blew a gasket or whatever, you know, at Holleran Summit. That's the summit of that long grind higher before you start down that hill back down into Las Vegas. And the SanDisk started plateauing at 2,300. Okay, and you know all of this from being you're a chartered financial analyst, which is the fundamental side of things, and you're a CMT, which is the technical side of things. Why do they teach both of those disciplines? Because they go hand in hand. Now, it reached Holleran Summit, SanDisk did at 2,300. It leveled off there for about a month, and it trades in a trading range: boom, 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 top, bottom, top. Bottom, floor, ceiling, like a dance. One, two, one, left foot, right foot. And then all of a sudden, it broke support. It broke short-term support. And that is a sign to lighten up, to take some profit, or take the whole thing off the table. But then you argue, well, these fundamentals are powerful. You're going from $3 a share in earnings last year to 206 next year. Nobody's ever seen anything like this kind of growth in earnings this rapidly. The fundamentals remain very strong, but the chart is in a downtrend right now. It broke its 50-day moving average. The 20-day moving average is its short-term moving average. When it breaks the 20-day moving average, that's a warning sign. When it breaks the 50-day moving average, that's another warning sign. And then you look down to the 200-day moving average as the long-term moving average, okay? So somebody wrote to me in the chat room on Seeking Alpha today. He says, it's been a rough 2 weeks. Are we near the bottom on chips and memory? That's a good question. And I've been selling as the worm has turned a lot. I told you I dumped all my EWY, which was the South Korea. I took a profit in that thing. Now, SanDisk is right now correcting. It's gone from 2,300 and it's currently at 1,500. That's about a 30% correction over the last 8 weeks, 7 to 8 weeks. Now you say, where is the next support level? So when you say, has it bottomed, what you mean to say is, where is the support level on SanDisk? Where should it bottom? Well, the first bottom in SanDisk is right where it's at now, at 1,500. I could draw a line there. It came down to 1,500 in June. It came down to 1,500 in mid-July, early July. And now it's down at, this is the third test of 1,500. Now, Barry, I would say it hasn't put in a bottom yet because it's testing. This is the first day it's testing to see if that 1,500 level will hold. The next bottom is much more firm and solid, okay? And it's at 1,300. So at this point right now, you have risk down to 1,300 if you buy it. If you're looking to get back in, which I think SanDisk is still probably the best fundamental stock in the market, along with Micron, obviously. I don't know where SKHY is because we don't have fundamentals out on that thing yet. But SanDisk has very firm support at about 1,300. So, no, the answer is it has not put in a bottom yet. Now, I made a very famous call back in January of 2023 when the NASDAQ finally bottomed. That doesn't mean that it hit its support level, and on that day I bought. No. You like to see it hit that support level and then start going sideways, right? Okay, that's building a bottom. That's a consolidation. That's like the foundation of a house. Okay, and you can see that in gold right now. Gold is building a bottom in the 363 area, which would be what? That's just on the, I'm looking at a gold ETF. The 4,000 area would be the bottom on gold. But now it needs to go sideways in a number one sideways trend. But Barry, I'm waiting for it to turn up and start to show momentum. When that worm turns like it did with Argentina versus England, right. Okay, all of a sudden the whole game was being played in front of England's net instead of Argentina's net. And you had these little guys in light blue kicking the ball to and fro from each other and driving England wild nuts. I think England got gassed a little bit too. I think... Man, I don't know how they run that whole time, up and down the field. That's got to take a lot out of you physically. They're sweating, they're tired, and they lost their momentum. And then all of a sudden, Argentina started to turn up with little Messi's legs starting to move. He makes a perfect pass. Perfect pass. Did you see that pass he made? And the guy heads it into the net.
Both of them, I mean. Yeah, both of his both of those goals were assisted by him. So it didn't matter if he scores the goals or makes the pass. Yeah,
is it fair to say that the bottom for Argentina was put in when they made that goal and tied the game up?
Yeah,
yes,
that's probably.
Then
yeah.
The momentum shifted.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
Now, I'm going to give you some more examples here. I wrote on July the 13th, horrible chart on SpaceX. I warned you all about the stock. Well, okay, SpaceX has gone from 225 down to 135. That's where it went public, Barry. It went public at 135. From 225 down to 135, what kind of drop is that? I have to do it on my calculator. 90. It's down 90 points. 65. Yeah, 90 points divided by 220. Yeah, that's about 36, 7, 38% correction. I would say that that SpaceX, even though I don't like the stock, from a technical point of view, do you see the chart? It's trying to put in a bottom here. This is day number 1, 2, 3 of putting in a bottom at where it went public. And, you know, psychologically, that would be a natural place to put in a bottom, wouldn't it? To start going sideways and putting in a bottom where it went public. I mean, that's what the market determined was the value of the stock the day it went public. The market participants determined that the stock was worth $225 3 days later. They were wrong, and now it's back to where it went public at $135. So that would be a natural place to put in a bottom, but it has not put in a bottom yet, and I don't like the fundamentals of the stock, although I'm open, you know, I'm watching it day by day. Kathy Woods is backing up the truck and buying a bunch of SpaceX stocks, which doesn't surprise me. I mean, that's kind of her cup of tea. Now, on July the 13th, I sent out an alert to our subscribers and to our trial subscribers. I said, I'm selling all of my EWY out of all portfolios for a short-term profit of 24.3%. It was up higher at one point in time. But, you know, I think it was a big change, Barry, when SK Hynix decided to go public. Now there's a lot more supply of this stock out there. And maybe not that much demand because most people never heard of SK Hynix. And I just thought, you know, I think the worm has turned. And prior to that IPO, I wrote, I do not like the way that Samsung traded after its huge earnings report. Remember that? Samsung
after
had
earnings.
Yeah, they had 18-fold.
And a lot
increase.
Of it has to do with the leverage.
The leverage.
Yeah, there's a lot
has
of leverage
lot
in the South Korean market.
And then I also said, and I don't like the way that the recent IPO, SK Hynix, is trading. S-K-H-Y. It hasn't even begun to put in a bottom yet. It's down 7.2%, and it is volatile as all get out. And it's because what Barry just said, and we talked about it yesterday, the leverage in the stock. I said I sold it all for a 24% short-term profit. That's the way it worked out, okay? But I said I may decide to just buy SK Hynix in the future because the only way you could get exposure to SK Hynix before that was through the ETF, and that's how I chose to do it. Now I'm going to give you another example. I'm selling, this is July the 13th, I'm selling all of my Marvell technology for a 38% profit. Okay, it's a short-term profit. Sorry, you're going to have to pay the short-term rate on that gain. I said I do not like the way it is trading. The stock is breaking short-term support. Now, let's just look at MRVL. You can see I'm an active person. Now it's 193. I sold it at 216. And if you look at the chart of MRVL, Barry, tell me what you see. If you've got your charts up there, I see a stock that hasn't hit a bottom yet. It's still falling. But...
Well, and that's the worry on these names, right, Bill, that have moved so far so fast. They're, you know, what happens is, from a chart formation standpoint, their support is way back down to where they
came
from.
That's the problem. Yes.
And, of course, you know, right, yeah.
The support is at 200. It hit 329. The support is at 200. That's a 36% downside potential, and it's still searching for that support level. It's hitting the support level now, but it hasn't even started to go sideways yet. Not even started to go sideways yet. Okay, so spotting.
Yeah, I mean, 170, you know, probably make an argument at 170 would be kind of that, as you mentioned, that next support level. Right.
Yes. Somewhere and then on July 13th, like. I wrote, the market has lost its momentum for now. This is an alert that went out. This is a macro alert, especially in the chip sector. It could just be that we are now just beginning earnings season, which there's always a lull, profit taking, or the continued issues with Iran. I did a lot of profit taking today until the market gets going again. The current cycle of the red-hot trade in the AI stock seems to be over for now. The only news cycle that I'm seeing is in the oil sector. But that could be temporary. It all depends on the war. Okay, now I'll give you one more example here, and then we'll move on to some of the other news. There are earnings today. Taiwan Semiconductor reported earnings. A couple other big stocks. We'll get to that here in a minute. Now, I said here, I couldn't believe how fast Dell went up after we bought it. I just could not even believe how fast Dell went up. We bought Dell on March 24th, 2026. I don't buy stocks for short-term profits. I hope, you know, that I can hold it for the next couple, two, 3 years. But in a market like this, it's really not possible. I said, I'm selling half of my very, it became our largest position. Why? Because it went up 150% from that March 24th of this year purchase. And I said, I'm selling half of my very large Dell position for a 125% profit since my 324.26 purchase. This obviously was a nice investment. I did not expect it to be short term like this, but I will take it. And I left the other half in place, which is the gravy. The gravy's still there, and Dell is putting in a bottom. It looks like it's putting in a bottom at 400. And I may just well get back. Well, I'm already in it. And, Barry, it became almost a 6% position in our portfolio because it doubled. It more than doubled in three months.
Very quick.
Yeah. Well, okay, I got lucky. Call it luck. And the other half is still there, and I feel more comfortable lowering that position to where I am today than where I was at that time, because I'm very vulnerable to it breaking that support level and going down even further. So I'm just trying to teach here some of the issues that arise in stock. I think it's harder for most people to sell than it is to buy. Would you agree with that, Barry?
Oh yeah, I mean the buying. I've seen folks who come on board. A good great example: folks that come on board as clients. They've been following your live trading alerts for, a couple of years or whatever. And, they'll still, the buying in terms of investor psychology is exciting, right? It's like, they'll make all buy purchases, but they'll never follow your sell purchases. So when they come on board as a client, they're still owning, Zoom that we owned in, end of 2020.
5 years ago.
Right? Yeah. So, there's certainly an investor psychology piece involved where, seling something is not near as exciting as buying it.
It's called greed and fear and indecision. Those are the three biggest things. But I would also say that we had people over the last month that were mad at me because they had transferred their accounts to me and I had not done any buying because I could see these things topping out. Okay? Do you really want me to buy something that I see potentially topping out? That means the risk to reward ratio is tilted in the market's favor, not in your favor. Now they should be saying, Bill, I'm glad you didn't buy Micron or SanDisk or EWY when I first came to you. Instead, you kept the powder dry and you're going to wait till these things bottom out and get me a better price on these things. That's how I do things. I can put you all in. Day one, I can put you all in, all my stocks, day one. No, that's not the right thing to do. Now, I want to give one more example here, Barry, of a real-life situation. I've had about 240 stocks that I'm looking at every day because that's what we own between everybody, okay? Between everybody. A lot of it is stuff that's legacy that people transferred to us. They don't want to sell it, blah, blah, blah. The core of what we own is probably about 100 stocks. When we come back, all of a sudden, I came to work 2 days ago, and I had 340 stocks to look at that day. 100 new stocks have come in. Usually, it's one or two people. Okay, we probably had 100 new stocks come in, and it was typical. It's 100% typical of a large institutional portfolio that had been put together by a large institutional money manager, and I've been doing nothing but selling for the last 3 days. So let me give you some examples. AEP, it's a utility, gone. AGG, it's one of the biggest bond funds out there. Bond market is horrible this year, gone. Gallagher, which I owned at one time, an insurance company out of the UK, gone. BND, an ETF on bonds, gone. British Tobacco. Why would you own a tobacco stock in a world that is anti-tobacco? BTI, gone. Chubb, CB, gone. Crown Cork and Seal. I haven't seen that name in a long, long time. But, yeah, they make caps for wine bottles and just what the name says, Crown Cork and Seal. Gone. CDW, which sells computers, right? There's a couple others. Gone. Comcast, one of the worst stocks of all time, was in this portfolio. Gone. Disney. I think you know how I feel about Disney. Gone. So this is dead wood. While you're working hard at work every day as a dentist or whatever, you know, your occupation is heart surgeon, brain surgeon. These stocks are not working for you. DTE, another just big dud utility, gone. DUOT, which is a little tech stock that looks horrible, gone. EQT, an oil stock, gone. Freeport-McMoRan, gone. I made all of these sell decisions. FNF, that's Fidelity National. It's a real dog. Gone. Let's see. I just want to give you some more examples of what came in, because this is so typical of what these big institutions own. Hasbro. Come on. Hasbro, it's a dog. Gone. HITI. HITI is a marijuana stock. Gone. Way gone. Not just a little gone. Way gone. Hewlett-Packard Enterprises. Ugh. Hershey. Ugh. IBM. There it is. Gone. Too bad it didn't come in before it tanked. International Flavors and Fragrance. Wow, there's a growth stock if I ever saw one. Gone. That's just page one of the sales, Perry. There's several more pages. I'm going to go to the next page because this is fun. Knight's Transportation. It's a trucking stock. Gone. L. Harris Corp. That's a big defense contractor. Gone. Lockheed Martin. It has been a dog for years. Gone. Medtronic, once a great stock, not anymore. Gone. Mercado Libre, which is the Amazon of South America. Gone. Hey, by the way, how come Milei? I haven't seen Milei at any of these Argentina games. The chainsaw guy, right? Milei, the leader of Argentina?
Yeah,
did you see him? I saw Beckham.
Well, I know Trump's going to be at the. Is supposed to be at the final. So you know, I know. They were kind of fans of each other. So who knows? Maybe he'll show up
in the box next to Milei.
Hopefully not with the chainsaw. But
yeah exactly. and he can also have Musk in the box with his chainsaw. You know, because they were all on the stage together. Milei and Musk were having a chainsaw celebration as they cut government spending, but I haven't seen Milei. Someone told me that the head of the FIFA, the bald-headed guy, I shouldn't say that, but he is hair, he's follically challenged. Let's not pull any punches. He's Argentinian, is that true, FIFA? The head of FIFA is Argentinian?
I don't know. I didn't know where he was from. You've seen a lot of things where FIFA and decisions have kind of, you know, people are arguing that it's helped Argentina. But, yeah, if he is Argentinian, I feel like I would know it already because someone would have made it.
Yeah, they'd be making a big deal. I'll look it up because we're almost out of time. But, you know, look, maybe I should write a book, The Art of Selling. Rule number one, sell the dogs. Get rid of the weeds out of your garden. That's rule number one. And, you know, look, that's the rule that's violated the most, especially at the big institutions, because they've got your portfolio full of weeds. That's just me. You can disagree with that. You say, well, I own these blue chips like IBM and Disney and Hewlett Packard. These are great companies. Well, maybe they are, but they're not great stocks. Just look at the track record of what these CEOs. Look, isn't a CEO like a coach? Where's Italy? Italy hasn't been to the World Cup in a long time. They've won more World Cups
than
anybody.
I think in three runs. Yeah.
So why would you put Italy in your lineup? You know what I saw? This is crazy. I'll end with this. Kalshi. Kalshi now allows you to bet on clinical drug trials, whether they work or not. Oh, man. You're hoping. You bet against the drug.
I saw
you're
this.
Hoping somebody dies in the test. And so, yeah. That's ridiculous. This is getting ridiculous.
It is weird.
These prediction markets. If you bet against most clinical trials, you're going to be on the winning side of that bet, you know, most of the time. Okay, well, we're out of time. Hopefully this has been educational. I just decided to not get to. There was Taiwan Semiconductor reported earnings. And who else? There was one other big one. ASM Lithography was yesterday. And there were a few others, but nothing really life-changing. We'll get to that next week in the next couple of weeks. To get a four-week trial, you'll get these alerts that I just read to you. It's an education in itself for 4 weeks, the alerts that I send out. Go to GundersonCapital.com, The Art of Selling. That should be my next book, The Art of Selling, which probably wouldn't sell any copies because the title is, who wants to know what to sell? I would rather know what to buy. But selling is more important if not more important than buying, okay? Go to GundersonCapital.com to get an active manager working for you on your side. I make no guarantees other than we'll be vigilant as hell. Go to GundersonCapital.com or call us, set up an appointment with us, and get a financial plan while you're at it. 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.